Greatness is associated with the world stage. We're blinkered to say that the Irish rugby team or a province has dominated. Leinster, I think, under Joe Schmidt, that was a great team.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off The Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome back to the Football Pod. It's episode 16 of season 4. James, Paddy, another very, very busy weekend. How are you?
All good, yeah. All good.
All good, Tom. How's the farm by you?
Oh, good, good, yeah. Paddy, big games this weekend. Some very exciting ones. What did you enjoy most?
I had to laugh. I turned on United Liverpool yesterday, and I have to say it turned out to be one of the greatest soccer matches I've ever seen. And Jimmy, you last week saying I have tickets to that game, but I'm not fucking arse going over to it. I did think I of know. You when that extra time winner went in, and I don't think Old Trafford's been like that in about 20 years.
Apparently it was the greatest atmosphere Old Trafford has seen since 1999.
Oh my god, I was laughing, Jimmy, I have to say. I didn't expect it, but you must be raging.
I literally turned down that trip, yeah. But you know what?
You turned it down. Tell everybody why you turned it down.
You weren't in the headspace, were you?
But yeah, no, I have to look after number one, Tom. I have to make sure that this being is right for this pod. There's no point in me going over there now and not being fresh for this hour.
And
of
we
the
appreciate
week.
That.
I
we
don't appreciate accept that excuse because you've been shambled on this part before, Jimmy. That time you came home from Vegas, you were like, the lights were on, but there was no one was home.
Prague was the worst.
Prague
was bad.
There was not one thought going through my head to say. I was like, I'll answer this question now, and then there was just nothing. It was just tumbleweed.
You were slacking, lads. You were throwing the knife in on loads of fellas there. You did a fucking brag for 3 days.
We will give you a pass this year, okay? Whenever you're taking a trip, we'll give you a pass, and myself and Paddy will do a pod. But look, you passed up on one of the greatest soccer games of the last 50 years.
I would say.
You were glued to
the training Sunday morning in the Legion? Because that was the real reason you missed it.
It wasn't. I'm not even back playing with Legion yet this year.
Oh, really?
No. I'm back next week.
Okay.
Dodgy groin. And so, no, I just wanted to get back healthy, fit, up to date in work. I was too much going on. And I was like, if I take these couple of days now to go, I'll just be set back again.
Was it a two-day trip?
Well, you see, it would have been Dublin. Well, it might have been Cork, Liverpool, yeah, and then down to Manchester, or else Dublin, Liverpool, over to Manchester.
And you'd have been back today, would you? You would have given it the big one in Manchester last night.
You see, that's what I was saying. Like, United would have won 4-3 last minute of extra time, and next thing you'd miss the flight, or you'd make
a
bad decision.
Thursday, like. You wouldn't be home till Thursday, like.
Exactly. Next thing you'd be, after buying a season ticket or something over.
You'd be broke, yeah. Fucking lifetime member.
So I am happy with the decision.
You look great today, Jimmy.
Live with your decision. You can live with it.
I can live with the decision, yeah, because I had no point all weekend. And,
on St. Patrick's weekend.
Yeah, I resisted all temptation. Watched a shot of sport yesterday and the day before.
Yeah, it was hectic.
Serious sporty weekend, to be fair.
Yeah,
it was. It really was.
What about that putt from Clark, though, before I move on?
Oh. Unbelievable.
It must be one of the most torturous things that can happen.
Did you see the slow-mo on, I think it was on PJ Tour on Instagram. They showed the super slow-mo. The fucking thing. It's like
three quarters away.
It goes into the hole. You literally can't see the ball anymore and pops back out.
But he missed one. For his putt for Eagle on 16 as well was very close as well.
Isn't the golf great? Was it 15 or 16? Like that?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's great Sunday night view. Masters in 3 weeks as well. Your man Scheffler is a sick bastard, isn't he? Like, he's like the Dubs.
My golf swing is nearly steadier than Scheffler's. Huh? Honestly, he nearly falls over half the time when he's straight down the middle of the fairway.
It does actually look like you're a swinger right there. Yeah,
that's working for him.
After those 12 cans of bombers now, he looks exactly like you.
There's still one spot left in the Cratlow Golf Classic on the 29th of March, if I can interest you in that.
The 29th Friday of March. Tea. When is that?
Yeah, it's Go Friday.
Go Friday. I have a lot on Go Friday. Yeah. I have a lot of stuff on Go Friday.
All right. Well, it's motoring really well already. So it's
where's it at? In a good place. What golf course is it in?
It's in Shannon Golf Club. A lovely, lovely.
What's
golf
the prize?
It's just the back of the airport. Oh, there's loads of prizes. I'll have to dig them out to you again, but there's a lot of prizes.
Free membership for the football pod.
yeah.
First prize.
We should sponsor some stupid prize for the crack.
Hey, maybe next year. Maybe next year we could
do that. Nearest to the pin. Football pod golf merch.
There's actually a savage draw that night as well with a load of phenomenal sporting prizes, like trips to different sports.
Trips to Old Trafford. There you go, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
I take the cash.
You can win the Mega Sports Raffle, Cratlow GA Club, two tickets to Premier League fixtures in Old Trafford on the 11th of May. That's United Arsenal, including an overnight stay. Two tickets to Ireland, New Zealand and the Aviva.
That's a good one. That's on a Friday night. That's on a Friday night in November, 8 o'clock.
A pair of tickets. Now, this is a big one, and you mightn't think it is, but it's a big one. A pair of tickets to the Munster Hurling Championship in Ennis on the 21st of April. Tickets cannot be bought. They're not going on general sale for Clare Limerick. No.
Clare Limerick.
In the opening game of the Munster Round Robin. They're not going on general sale.
That's slowing GA go again, is it?
Hard to get a hold of. Just being given out to club members and season ticket holders.
It's not a big capacity, is it? What would Cusick Park hold?
Would you get 15,000 at the Cusick Park? Maybe a little more either side.
You could put that in the Gaelic grounds at Cello.
19,000 capacity.
19?
That's the capacity at the minute.
Would they not throw that one in Porky Cueve and get a fucking full house for that place? Like? Try and knock a few quid off that.
Ed Sheeran is on that weekend.
Super Value Park. That'd be great at Super Value. Anyways,
that's the Mega Sports Raffle draw from Cratlow. You can check it out on Instagram.
That's not bad. That's good. Hey, could I buy a couple of tickets for that? No,
you could. Yeah, I'll raffle it on the link after.
James, I'm surprised they have any money. Are they raffling your signing on fee? Or that's what they're raffling for? Is that what they're collecting?
I had to pay.
One more year of Tommy Lynn.
James, we owe you money for the Legion fundraiser that you signed us up for. I had no idea that I signed up for
this. What is this?
Paddy didn't embrace the whole event.
Yeah, Paddy's under 0 points, Cheltenham picks.
I was away in London last week. I had a couple of things on. I wasn't in the headspace.
You still didn't come last. I think you still came middle of the road. No entries.
That's it. Yeah, lovely. Well played. Yeah,
we'll send you that cash afterwards. Right, let's get into the pod, lads, because it's a bloody busy weekend. Penultimate weekend of the football leagues. We're heading into the final round. The weekend after it will be the league finals, and the weekend after that will be the first round of championship. A couple of milestones that were hit this weekend. We were talking about appearances on our members pod last week and goals and how hard they are to get a hold of. 36-year-old Ben Brosnan played his 174th game for the Wexford footballers at the weekend. Thought that was a fairly phenomenal stat. He's still going. Wexford are in with a shout at promotion a little later. We'll talk about that. They have a chance on the last day. And also Aidan O'Shea played his 100th game for Mayo. No mean feat. I think Andy Moran's on 102 league games. And
it's 100 league game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So many actual appearances does he have?
Oh, Jesus, buddy.
Over 150, surely. Oh, Aidan O'Shea's least, played over. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, what age is Aidan O'Shea? 32?
33.
And he's been around.
He's 33.
He's 34 this year because he was minor in my year.
Yeah, 34 in June.
Jeez, he got some mileage going, that fella.
Aidan O'Shea, 84 championship appearances and 100 league appearances. That's really impressive. That longevity is really impressive.
You get to 200.
It is.
That's some going.
Yeah, I
heard then during the Mayo game, Tommy Conroy only has 16 league appearances. I thought he'd been around for a lot longer than that.
He's been injured. He did his cruise ship in LT. Remember he did his cruise ship, missed the whole year.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of injuries. It wasn't just that, wasn't it?
I thought he looked good at the weekend.
He looked sharp. Yeah,
I thought he looked sharp, getting back to his best. So that was good to see. And we'll be talking a little bit about Mayo Derry later. James, you had an eye on that, did you?
I did.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a little while. Let's just run through the results quickly in Division 1, because the big one was Tyrone 119, Monaghan 213. There was moments in this game where Tyrone pulled away by 7 points and Monaghan just kept coming back.
It was a good game, wasn't it? It was a great game. I seen the pitch and I was like, Healy Park's not a great pitch. And then I seen that and it was just, we said it last week, we were expecting a cagey game, and it was actually a very, very enjoyable game, I have to say, yeah.
The Monaghan played wide open. I don't know, did they get caught by accident just pushing too many bodies up?
I don't know if that was the plan or not, but maybe.
For Canavan's goal, like, it was a great goal. The pass was out of this world by Morgan. But Monaghan, what they were doing, pushing all the bodies up for it.
A lot of teams are doing this, James.
Take the risk. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't. You need to still prepare for the turnover. Have a couple of fellas back organised. You can't just let everyone go. And then the shot selection was poor to give it back to Morgan. And it was a weapon of a pass.
What a pass. Lots.
Well, yeah. Don't believe a pass. But you should always have one more defender. So if they're keeping two up, have three defenders. If they're keeping three up, have four defenders. If they're keeping no one up, then just keep one guy back.
But they have Canavan up there, right? Tyrone have Canavan up there. They're not even marking him.
No.
Because he's he has 15-yard separation.
Michal Banigan.
Michal Banigan nearly.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
It was a little bit of magic, wasn't it? Canavan. Like, brilliant pass by Morgan, obviously. But then he still has a lot to do. And you know, he's kind of waiting on the ball. And Banigan, you think he's going to catch him, or he's going to rugby tackle him, the old Sean Kavanagh style of Conor McManus. And then the half volley, it was beautiful.
Did you see the behind the goals angle of that goal?
Yeah.
The kind of overhead shot.
TJ Carrick, brilliant for that.
Class.
Yeah really.
But it gives you such a good view of the second. And I know Canavan said it afterwards that they've worked on this before in games and it hasn't come off and they've done it in training.
Really?
But the second, he said it after the game, the second the ball is dropping short, Morgan switched on. He knows what he's going to do. That second he knows that ball is going to drop short, Canavan waits, points, and goes. It's brilliant. That behind the goal view from up high, it's just class to get that perspective.
We used to watch all the games when we were analysing games with that view. Like.
Yeah. But you know, there is cameras.
Never really watched the TV view. It was always kind of high.
Really?
Yeah, you just see everything. Like, if you're watching on the telly, you can't see the context of the play. Like you can see a fella with the ball and you're going, why isn't he kicking that inside? And there might be fucking on in there. Like. Whereas the behind the goal view, like, so you see the whole pitch. You can't see the individual players, but you kind of know who they are anyway. Like, but
well, those cameras are permanently
far better view of the structure of the game. Like.
Mm. Those cameras are permanently fixed in Croker, and I know that there's like analysts who have access to that footage all the time. So I'm not sure if it's in every ground, but
it seems TJ Carr are really good at it. They seem to have it always at Healy Park. It is, but you're right. You just see the whole thing. It's brilliant. Like.
But Morgan, like, to have a goalie of that quality in that situation is so important, because what most goalies would have done there, now, I mean, a lot of them are brilliant footballers at the moment, to fairness to most teams, but the worst thing he could have done there is caught it and dish it to a cornerback, right? And next thing, the cornerback is getting pressed by every man in forward. Yeah, or else give it back to him, yeah. And the cornerback's not going to have an outsider right in the locker. But for Morgan, knew exactly what he was going to do. And to catch it on the sweet spot, swerve it around the defender. It was a delicious pass.
But James, is he the best in the country at the minute, Niall Morgan?
He's definitely in the conversation. I mean, you've still got Cluxton to come back. I mean, I'm not saying put anyone above Cluxton. But I mean, I think he's probably on form at the moment, the best goalie. And in fairness, he has been a solid 8.5 out of 10 for years. Do you know, he is quality.
But isn't it, Jimmy, that aspect of the game, he's the number one.
Yeah.
At that, the transition. Cluxton is, for me, obviously, I agree with you. I'm not putting anyone ahead of him because the fundamentals and there's the aura around him as well. He is incredible. And Cluxton doesn't get involved in that side of things. Whereas the newer style of goalkeeper, the transition play, like Began is really good at it, but Began, Morgan, I don't know, does Morgan have more athleticism? You can just see him. He is mad to get out of goal. he's going out of his way. How do I get involved in this play? He is mad to sprint up the pitch. But he has the ball skills to execute it as well. So it's such a weapon.
And the power.
It's such a weapon for Tyrone. Began, to an extent, probably doesn't have the athleticism, but he does have the technical skills as well. But it's become, like we said, Ethan Rafferty's obviously had a really bad injury with Armagh. He did it to great effect last year. Again, he's an outfield player. So, it's just become, like, 3 or 4 years ago, this was kind of people raising eyebrows going, geez, what's happening here? Where it's kind of become the norm in GAA.
Last man back is going to be the thing, definitely. Yeah. It has to be because it's too much of an advantage. You even hear Guardiola talking about City, and he's like, they can never go man on us because we're always going to have an extra man in the goalie. And it's the same the way Derry do it with Aaron Lynch. Do you know, if a team presses up man to man on them, Aaron Lynch just sneaks up, gets a pass, and they break the line. It's a no-brainer. You have to have a clever goalie there.
That play potentially, I know there's been a lot of talk about the Marty Clark going to down thing, and like you're weighing up like what? Kickouts are massive, so I think that potentially might be an issue for someone like Marty Clark. But in terms of priorities for a goalkeeper, I mean, shot stopping is probably
bottom of the list.
Third, your kickouts, one, can you secure possession, and then two is transition.
And then a shot dropping short, make sure you can absolutely mince whoever's after coming in.
Just fucking fist that are doing Ederson and try and take out about five players. But shot stopping, the fundamental thing, like 10 years ago, we would have said that's the main thing, seems to have dropped down a little. Like the way it's evolved, the kick out and transition seem to be the absolute priorities for teams. It's such, you're right, it's such a weapon. And Saturday was
just amazing.
The latest example of that.
Isn't it amazing how it's become one of the most important positions on the pitch? Essentially, actually, the most influential position on the pitch. Because if you look at Wicklow, Mark Jackson's gone. He would have been a leader for them, kicking points, so impressive from kickouts. He's gone, they're relegated with a whimper. Monaghan, obviously, have conceded the most goals. Obviously, that's not just Darren McDonald's fault, but he isn't Rory Beggan. What Rory Beggan's been brilliant, what has been bringing to the table for the last couple of years. Wexford have actually, they're on the brink of promotion, but they have a brilliant goalkeeper in Darragh Brooks. He hasn't been available this year. When you've got somebody like that who can elevate you above other teams around you, it's just such an influential position.
It is. And as much as it can benefit you and it can transform your transition and your attack, if your goalie's having an off day, like, it's game over for you. Because if your kickouts aren't being secured, or if a high ball comes in and he's not alert to it and it gets pammed over his head or something, it gives jitters throughout the whole team. It's curtains. So like it is definitely up there with the most important positions. And I can only see it getting more and more important.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant to see. One of the most impressive things about Tyrone this weekend were the boys that got back. Kieran McGeary, hopefully he's not picked up a bad injury. He seemed to hurt himself at about 50 minutes in. Looked as good as I've seen him in the last while. Conor McShane kicked the point, got a good few minutes under his belt. And Matty Donnelly came back as well.
That's a big one.
I feel like Tyrone, lads, could do damage in Ulster. Or maybe
Tommy, we have said that every week. we fucking have. Like, we have been harsh with them because they are frustrating. And more so, because you know, we said this a couple of weeks ago, in terms of a ceiling, if everything goes right, all those, and those guys coming back, look, it might be time before, I think it's unfair to, McGeary's probably been around, but has not got anywhere near the player of the year season in 2021, and Matty Donnelly just be back out there after a really, really bad injury, obviously someone with a lot of miles on the clock as well. It might take him time to get back to the Matty Donnelly of, you know, a couple of All-Stars, one of the top players in the country. And the same with McShane. He's probably never really got back to that All-Star year where he was exceptional. Again, injuries. So if these guys get back to somewhere near their peak and Tyrone can play at their absolute optimum, yeah, we said it. They can take out anyone. But they have not had a consistent run of games since they won the All-Ireland nearly 3 years ago. They're nearly veering into the Donegal of 10 years of they're great on paper, but it's not happening in the big game. So, yeah, 100%. And not just Tyrone, I think we seen Gainey yesterday, but Kerry looked really sharp. You're going to see that Mannion was back with Dublin. This stage of the league, you're going to see lots of these guys, the more experienced players with miles and the car, getting back out there, getting into the mix. Like, because championship's fucking 3-4 weeks away. So Tyrone, a positive result. They're safe for Division 1, which is one of the main things, obviously, out of it, getting bodies back on the pitch. But there's still that massive question mark of consistency. And look, they're not the only thing. There's lots of teams. Like Mayo, the last couple of weeks, have had some highs, but then some really bad lows. But yeah, of course, if Tyrone are top of the pops, they've got a chance to take out anyone. But will they be? That's the massive fucking question. Like, we were in Killarney, we were chatting to some of their supporters after the game, and like, Tyrone know this. Their supporters know this. It's that consistency that they just haven't shown that in a couple of years.
You are listening to The Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. It's brought to you every week by AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. James, there was a fair few talking points from Roscommon and Kerry, and there's a couple of things that have irked you. Where would you like to start?
Irked me. Well, I'd like to start with the
unloud,
umpire.
Jimmy. Unloud.
The umpire.
We've got a checklist here. The umpire, because we're going there, are we?
Umpire. Umpires in general.
Oh, okay.
Umpires in general are just, they're just annoying. Like, they don't have that much to do, but they always tend to get most of it wrong. How can you wave that penalty wide when it's gone straight over the bar? He's standing 6 inches from it.
the penalty was outlandish.
But it's,
I think he was too close.
His one job in that situation was to see where the penalty goes, and it's bamboozled him. Do you not agree?
In defense of umpires.
You can't defend that. The umpires, something's going to change because they're a liability. Either change completely and don't have someone behind the goal, or do it from, or else get people who are actual referees, maybe, who are kind of used to being tuned in, because at the moment it's just bringing people along for the day out.
It does have that vibe off it. I think it's always had that. We've kind of had, there's just been, are they adding any value in what they're doing? I struggle to see. You know, the off the ball stuff, it's usually the refs that just give that. You know, you look at guys like David Goff is very good at pulling that. It's up to the refs to kind of see that. You're not really getting a lot out of the umpires. I thought the penalty thing was incredible yesterday. And look, it's volunteerism, all that stuff. I get all that, but I just think, like, you're a foot away from it. And the wave it wide. The ref had to go in and tell him that was over the barley.
Like,
the whole fucking
stadium
could see that.
It is funny.
Yeah. But it's going to lead to something else. Because
they've missed something.
Guaranteed they've missed it. They have no chance of seeing it. They're never going to spot anything. And the worst thing is the referees actually go in and talk to the umpire as if the umpire is going to have a clue what's going on. They never know what's going on.
But if you remember, Jimmy, it was the All-Ireland semi-final 2022. The Shane Walsh free, which is
straight over the black spot.
And the lads are waving it wide. And Hawkeye, it was like, come on. Like, that's an All-Ireland semi-final. Now, the right result, the right outcome was got to because it was just before half-time. But
yeah,
I don't know. It was just another example of it. Look, and I know that
but they were lucky that happened in the first half. Because if that incident happened in the second half that day, there would have been a riot. Imagine, because they wouldn't have been able to change the decision. And there'd have been a one point defeat after the ball going straight over the back spot.
So umpires are number one, Jimmy. Who's number two on your list? Who else?
I felt
two of the first three scores were fisted points.
Oh yeah,
and we got a couple of tweets in wondering what James's reaction would be to that. Now Joe O'Connor, the first score was really well worked. I put this to Jack O'Connor after the game. Kerry win the throw-in, keep the ball for 2.5 minutes. Joe O'Connor punches the ball over the bar. Connor Carroll scores Roscommon's second point of the game. Kerry kept the ball for the guts of 4 minutes before David Clifford kicked the ball over the bar. Mm. Was there an element of Kerry changing their style to try and stifle Roscommon at the weekend? Because I saw Galway do it in Connacht last year, where they really shut down Roscommon by being really, really positive, or really, really, really protective of the ball and waiting for their moment to strike, because Roscommon just weren't getting contacts on yesterday.
Well, what's happened there is they've tossed, and Kerry are going against the wind in the first half. You pull in as a team and it's like, right, lads, we're against a gale here. What are we doing? We'll mind it. We're not going chasing this for half an hour. We'll try and work a nice handy score, but keep them chasing the ball and see how they get on with it. And Roscommon did not start with any intensity, and Kerry just had a load of joy from it. And in fairness, Paddy Clifford, Roscommon could not get a hold of Paddy. He absolutely dictated the whole first half, getting it, moving it, getting it into David, getting little possessions around the D, and Roscommon just showed no intensity to stop that. And I don't think that Kerry would have said all week in training, right, we're changing our style here, we're going playing slow lateral. It was a case of, there's a gale here, how do we play to this? I'd say they probably talked about that with 30 seconds before throwing.
Yeah,
but like, these teams have to be able to do that and adjust accordingly. If they were with the wind, I guarantee they wouldn't have done that first half.
Okay.
Well, that's just common sense. Like, you see, like, well, Kerry changed just no, they're not. It's just smart play, managing the game. Like,
yeah.
Roscommon with a gale force wind behind, and we know that they have the quality players up front. You don't want that to be a shootout. It's not like, not a chance Kerry are changing their style because Roscommon, I agree with Jimmy. That's a minute before we lost the toss, let's change. And Kerry are good enough to play that style of play. So it's just, look, it's not the most exciting thing to watch, but it's very, very efficient play. And Kerry are as good as it when they need to be, as you know, Dublin, Derry, all the top teams need to be able to do that. We said nearly a drawback of someone like Mayo, who were one of the top teams. They're probably not as good at playing that style of play. It has to be flat to the mat for them. Whereas Kerry was just really, really clinical control again. I agree with you. Roscommon, I know Davy Burke was positive after the game. It looks they're up against it now. The way the fixtures have gone for them, Derry are in the league final. So going up to Celtic Park, they might get a second string Derry team. It gives Roscommon a chance to possibly get 2 points there and possibly stay in the division. I still think it's unlikely. It's just been very up and down from Roscommon in this National League.
Up and down is the word, isn't it?
Do you know about with teams playing with and against the wind, right? If say there's a toss, you don't know which way you're going to be playing until literally the ball's been thrown in, right? So you're going to be playing with it. So the other team is going to try and hold the ball for as long as possible, which happened last night. It can actually drain your legs as a player when you're chasing the ball stupidly. It's going over your head and you get frustrated. Like, Roscommon should have probably known earlier what they were going to do, because you have to either foul and get a man, but even it's so early you probably don't need to do that. Even the full backline players have to push up a bit, because Kerry were never actually looking in for a long pass, and because they were against the wind it wasn't going to reach anyway. So I think you have to almost push the opposition forward into attack so you can tackle them there, because Kerry were just toying with them in the first half. It's a boring watch, but the team on the receiving end of it who's chasing have to be tuned into it better.
You just think Roscommon, like, remember Roscommon, one of the big performances they had last year in the group stages, they did this to Dublin and Croke Park in the first half. Kept the ball for 4 or 5 minutes at a time. It was a really, really good display. So they understand that. And in that situation, every line just stepped forward 15 yards.
Yeah.
Every line. All six backs play from the front. I'm not saying that's normally the way you would play the Kerry full forward line, play 10, 15 yards in front, but the elements is nearly like an extra man for you. You have to push up. And that was just, it was like a naive performance from Roscommon. It was like, are these guys not past this? It was like the Paddy Clifford thing as well. Any team that plays Kerry, you've got to take him out. He's essential for them. You look what Tyrone did with Moyler, Dublin did with John Small. You can't let the key players dictate the game. And it was just, there was a couple of things from Roscommon yesterday. I was just looking at it going, I thought these guys were past these kind of fundamental, like, basics. And I know Davy Burke's put a positive in it. He has to do that. Of course he's going to try and do that. But it was just another performance in the league. They've had some good ones. Most not like a really good performance against Monaghan, kind of put them to the sword. But then they've had a couple of really flat performances as well, you know?
Yeah. It's going to go down to the last day, as Paddy mentioned, and this is what matters on the final day. There's a couple of things on the line. Who's going to be in the league final? And I'll just explain how that's going to work. Roscommon need, at the bottom of the table, Roscommon need to win, and they need to...
What?
The perfect actions, like...
They need to hope that Kerry get the job done against Galway. Kerry have a very, very, very outside shot of making a league final, and they've also got a warm weather trip to Portugal the following week. So I'm not sure if it's in the Kerry plans to actually...
They're going after the Galway match. Efforts. So yeah, the league final. Wowzers.
Easter holidays. So, it's Kerry Galway, it's Dublin Tyrone, it's Roscommon Derry, and it's Mayo Monaghan. Which doesn't, you know, Monaghan are down. Mayo have an outside chance. The likelihood is Derry, who just need a point against Roscommon in the final game, get into the league final. Look, it's looking like that.
Are Derry not in already?
Derry of 10.
No, there's a very outside chance Derry mightn't make it, but they only need a point, and even if they lose, they can still make it.
It's if Kerry hammer Galway.
Yeah.
Oh no, Kerry of 6. Did Kerry 6 or 8? 6.
Derry. Oh, Kerry are in the mix as well.
No,
yeah.
But Derry are in the final. Derry have 10.
They're not in the final. They're not in the final.
I'm going to trust you on this one, Tammy, but it's all looking like, if you're looking at form, it's looking like Dublin-Derry final, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely Dublin.
The only way Derry can miss out is if Dublin and Kerry have huge wins that knock Derry out on scoring difference. So it'd be Kerry really that would need to have a 20-point win against Galway. Or
does it not go head-to-head? Derry back Kerry?
No, like, when there's three teams finishing on the same point, it wouldn't be head-to-head. So that'd be only outside chance. Look, realistically, it's looking like Dublin, Derry in the league final, and then Roscommon or Galway to join Monaghan in relegation. One final thing that's come out of this game, and we may not linger on it too long, but there's just a bit of breaking news on it. So earlier today, John Fogarty of the Irish Examiner published a piece saying that Roscommon's Cathal Heenahan could face possible retrospective ban for the Jason Foley incident. So if you're watching Sunday game last night, this wasn't mentioned, but it's noticeable on the footage that when Heenahan, who's actually just back from a long injury himself, he was out for 18 months after breaking his kneecap in a club game in 22. Very talented young forward. Scores the goal, comes off the bench, scores the goal to bring it back to a three-point game. And as he turns and he's coming out, his right foot lands quite heavily on Jason Foley's ankle.
Lands quite heavily on his ankle.
5 minutes later, I'm not saying it was the reason Foley got injured, but 5 minutes later, Foley goes up for a ball with Niall Daly, and you can just see the ankle give way underneath him. He's helped off the pitch by a couple of Kerry physios, and it wasn't looking great for Jason Foley. Hopefully, it's not as bad as it looked, because both Kerry and Jason Foley, that'd be a huge loss. But Colin Keyes has just published in the Irish Independent, it's 20 past eight now as we're talking, that the CCCC could now ban Heenahan, and he could miss next month's semi-final, Connacht semi-final, against Mayo or New York next April. So that's the end of April. If the CCCC decides he has a case to answer from that incident. Ironically, Brian Carroll, who's the Roscommon chairman, is the current chair of the CCCC. So he only got hired into that role in the last couple of weeks.
Fuck's sake.
But in this instance, he will have to step aside to allow the other members of the committee. Yeah,
I thought the umpire would have picked that up.
It didn't look great, I have to say. It didn't look great.
I think if the ref saw it, it's probably a red card. I don't think he's gone to really hurt Jason Foley, but as he's coming down, he has definitely directed his step out of the normal line and onto Jason's ankle. I think he's probably done it on purpose. I think if he saw it,
maybe you should say that it looks like he directed his step, because that's like you can't tell. Like, and he obviously has to answer his case in front of the CCCC.
Yeah, so
we'll see, guys. We'll see what happens with it. It didn't look great, but
it didn't look
great. At the same time, you don't like seeing fellas getting done retrospectively, do you know, and missing championship matches.
Really?
Or missing big matches.
If somebody messes up and they do something that they shouldn't do on a pitch, should it not be dealt with?
I know, but it's messy territory, because then when does it get up? The Sunday game, do you remember, was there was something on the Sunday game every night a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's messy.
Oh, wait, did you not like that as players? Was that distracting?
It was, because I've seen players have been on it and we've been out a few pints after games, and next thing they're watching the telly and they're like, I'm going to be fucking suspended after that. Do you know what I mean? And
then
they had no idea. Yeah,
it's a double back in there. Like, I was like 2 weeks after.
A few days instead,
But I warm weather training camp again.
It's messy, but I'd nearly say if it's not picked up at the time, I don't know, fellas banned retrospectively.
Do you know what the big thing is? We touched on this last year, and we're going to see it all summer again. The disciplinary process, lads, county boards, teams, managers, players will by hook or by crook try and get out of it. Like, if someone is a red card or suspended, there will be appeals for the whole week up in the air, and then eventually they'll get off on some sort of technicality. I think that's a problem in the GAA. I don't mind retrospective. If there's a bad incident, like, say, my view on that, it didn't look good. I think if you're Jason Foley, you're thinking, I think there fucking should be retrospective action. Do you know what I mean? So I do think that should happen. But I think this is going to be a messy affair, I have to say. It's not
yeah,
and this is only start for like, wait till championship comes along and there's a red card for someone and it's the whole system is wheeled out to try and get out of this and things like that. I don't think that's a great look for the GAA. It's one of the only sports where that happens. Soccer, rugby, all this stuff, yellow card, red card, suspended, you're suspended. Well,
rugby,
that's it.
You do something in a rugby field, in international rugby, if you do something, you get
that's
done.
It. Yeah, you're getting done.
You do a crime, you get time. Yeah.
But we know, we've seen
unless you're on Farrell.
In the last couple of years, we've seen in the last couple of years that a few players would get banned and next thing you'd be like, I get off. Do you know? There's no confidence in the system. So
system, yeah.
To go retrospectively, Benny, like that incident did deserve a red card. I'm not saying it didn't at all. It did. It was dirty. I think it looked like he stepped on him purposely. We don't know for sure. It probably would have been a red card the ref saw it. But my point is to go down the retrospective action. I don't know. Are we on point enough with our disciplinary process to go banning fellas retrospectively all the time?
Okay. We'll keep an eye on it.
On a side note to that, Jason Foley's injury is serious news for Kerry because he's been fullback ever present. Well, if you're carrying off with an ankle injury, you're looking at 6 weeks.
Yeah, but you could sprain your ankle. It could be a sprain, Jimmy. It could be a bang. You never know. Like, it's very early to see. We'll be seeing this weekend against Galway. You know, it might not be that bad. We'll have to wait and see. But I agree. If he is missing, if he's missing, like, you know, the Munster Championship, like the reality is like Kerry going to win that thing anyway. You know, you're really looking at, is he back for June?
May, June.
Yeah.
June, really, for Kerry. Like,
who steps in there, James?
Well, Dylan Casey came on at the weekend, so he'd be the ready-made. But the thing is with Kerry is they're not a tall team. Like, Jason Foley would be probably 6'2" or 6'3". There's nobody of that height to replace him in the full back line. If you look at their half back line, they're quite small. You know, you got Gavin White would be maybe 5'11", 6 foot. Yeah, Paul wouldn't be that big. You've Graham O'Sullivan, you know, he's not hitting 6 foot. Then the half forward line, you know, they're not necessarily that tall. So it's not easy to find a tall, agile, fast full back. Like, Gary have been blessed with Jason because he's had his tough days out, but he's been an ever-present and very solid so often. So, you know, I think that we need him to get right quickly.
Yeah, they'll be sweating about him over the next little while. So, that's Division 1. On our members' pod this week, we're going to preview the final round of action where there's a lot on the line. In Division 2, Kildare were relegated. I was there Saturday night. I caught up with Glenn Ryan, Jim McGuinness and Paddy McBurty after the game. Kildare won 8, Donegal 17 points. Donegal, very, very impressive without having to go full throttle. But you can really, when you see them in action live, you can kind of see what we're going to get with Derry Donegal.
It's going to be a great game, isn't it?
And that is going to be fireworks. It is just like the energy in that Donegal team at the minute is unbelievable. Mm. Now, Pat Morgan kicked 5 points from play. And I've been really excited to see Morgan in action this year since he came back. It's been said that he's starting cornerback. He may have spent a minute or two a cornerback, but really he's an attacking wing back alongside McHugh, and he's popping up everywhere. The way Donegal set up and the way Kildare did well at the weekend was they negated Donegal's full forward line. Oisin Gallan kicked a point, a mark. Paddy McBurty kicked a point in the second half. And Darrell Wheel got two in the second half. But outside of that, their 13 other points came from 7 other players. Their midfield scored, their half back scored. Thompson kicked 3, Lankin kicked 3, Mogan kicked 5. It was just the long range shooting was very impressive from
Donegal. They've always had that though, Donegal.
Yeah.
It's always been a very good weapon for them. But that, to be fair, it's been a brilliant league. Them and Armagh, but we said Division 2 was kind of tight. You know, there was lots of even teams, but Donegal and Armagh have been the absolute standout teams in that full value for regaining their status back to Division 1. But the style of play with McGuinness and everyone's been kind of looking at, what's Jim McGuinness going to do? He's such a profile in the game. He's always innovative. What's the next thing he's going to try and bring in? And this kind of total football, the energy from Donegal. Do you know what it reminds me of? Nearly, remember Armagh 3 or 4 years ago with McGeaney? It wasn't as much maybe a running game, but it was kick pass from everywhere. All high energy, high octane play. Whereas Donegal always kind of had the players like the likes of McHugh, obviously, is the obvious example. Owen Bond Gallagher and these guys, Pat Morgan's the latest guy off the
conveyor belt, like, but it is an exciting style of play to watch for them. And if you're trying to play against, that's a hard style of play to play against, because it's, we said Tyrone were really good at this and winning the All-Ireland that year, that these transition players, that you don't know who's marking who. It's very hard to get matchups and latch on to guys like McGeary wins player of the year, but I don't think anyone marked him for the whole year. Conor Moyler had an outstanding year as well. So it's that kind of middle eight, and Donegal are probably bringing, it's probably 10 or 12 players, where it's just up and down a basketball style. You need to be incredibly fit to do it. You need to be really good technically, which Donegal have, and it's quite hard to stop. Do you know what I mean? And if you do try and get push up on these guys, well, then you've got McBrearty and these guys inside. So it's plan B. We can pop balls into a little forward line. So it's a really good system, and they seem to have implemented it really quickly, which is the key thing. So, you know, Jim McInnes has probably had these guys on the Davy Burke School of Thought from Roscommon, 150 training sessions so far, or whatever it might be. But it's, they're really seeing the value of it. It's been a brilliant spring for Donegal so far, which is, compared to 12 months ago, it's chalk and cheese.
I would have Donegal. I'd give them a right chance of Ulster. A right chance. I'd nearly have
to take out Derry. That's some game. That is a massive game.
Like, they'd be so close, but you couldn't back against them at times. Like, I don't know, there's just something in the McGuinness and everything. They'll be hard.
Derry have this with Mickey Hart as well. Derry going to be in the league final.
I know. The thing is, say for the Ulster Championship first round, what's the gap from the Division 2 league final?
So you've got preliminary round Monaghan playing Cavan. Neither of them are in the league finals.
3 weeks.
So you've got the league finals on the 30th, 31st.
It's Easter weekend.
On the 21st. 3 weeks, yeah.
So they have a three-week gap.
Yeah.
Like, that are mad Donegal game would be feisty in Croke Park, do you know?
League final.
You know, let down a marker.
Yeah.
See who comes out with silverware. I think that both sides would fancy their chances, but it'd be nice for both of them to go into Ulster with silverware and confidence.
Davy Burke made the point after the game at the weekend that he'd much rather be in Roscommon's position, where they are playing Division 1 opposition up against the best in the country, rather than being top of Division 2 like a Donegal or Armagh, possibly getting away with it, stumbling over the line. Is there a better way to be, James?
I think whatever situation you're in, you're saying you're happy with that. Like, if he was top of Division 2, he'd be saying, I love being top of Division 2. I'd hate to be struggling up at Division 1. So, like, he has to give a message to his own county, his own players, and also probably the media, that they're happy where they are. Because if he started questioning him after games, like, he'd be putting himself under savage pressure. But I do see where he's coming from, though, to be fair, that they're playing the top teams week in, week out. They know where they stand exactly when it comes to the big championship matches. They have players coming back. You know,
there's going to be nothing between those three and Connacht as well. Roscommon, Galway, Mayo are all having a kind of funny up and down league. So there'll be nothing between them and Connacht.
Yeah. Just from seeing that interview that you had, Tom, I think he was almost trying. It was a funny interview. He was kind of trying to almost convince himself as well that they're kind of happy where they are at the moment. Because, like, it's a tricky one where they are. They're going to go down because they're not going to win their last game. I think they will go down. And it was very much a bullish interview saying, we're still where we need to be here, and we're going to give the championship a right rattle. Like, sometimes you need
Jimmy has to kind of say that. He can't say anything else. Like.
No, he can't. But he gives a bit of a rally call to everyone.
I'd always be on the side of, I've said this from day one, Division 1 is where it's at. Even if it's not going well, and you say Vinnie Corrie, Davy Burke, say Pádraic Joyce, the three teams who probably struggled in Division 1 this season, you learn a hell of a lot. You're playing the best teams. You're trying to implement tactics, set plays, styles of play, kick-out structures. Like, you're doing it against the best teams. That's where you get the best feedback. There's no false sense of security that you might get in lower divisions. Now, Donegal and Armagh, to be fair, like, Donegal under McGuinness, this version of Donegal, are really, they're Division 1 teams. They are. But, yeah, they'd have momentum and things like that. Maybe for newer players, it's an easier breeding ground. We said this with Dublin last year, Daisy Farrell trying to find a couple of younger players. Division 2 is probably a bit easier. In terms of the whole team, the best place to get your feedback is playing the best teams, and that's for Division 1. That's why there's such a premium on it. So, I actually semi-agree with Davy Burke's point yesterday. Semi.
Yeah, no, I can absolutely see where he's coming from. So, the other games in Division 2, Armagh gave Cavan a clip in ending their slight promotion hopes, 221 to 12 points. Cork made themselves safe. They were down to Meath by 4 points with a couple of minutes to go. James Dunhu's Cork, 115-111 win.
What happened here?
6 goals.
What happened here?
617 to 11 points. Well, poor Ross Bogue got caught going walkies for the first goal. Sam Mulroy scored from 45 metres. In fairness to Ross Bogue, he's been caught twice in this league, but he's not the only man who's been living on the edge in goals, and it's the way his team is setting up. But Loud buried 6 goals by them, which puts Loud's scoring difference in a fantastic place. And all they need the last day against Kildare to stay up is a draw. So Fermanagh are now in that second relegation place. Fermanagh picked up 3 points in their first 2 games. So Loud are playing an already relegated Kildare, and they just need to win. And actually, the manner in which their scoring difference is, and the fact that Cork and Meath are playing Donegal and Armagh, Loud could very easily end up in fourth place in the league again with a win against Kildare, given that their scoring difference is much better than Meath and Cork. So that's Division 2. Lads, a couple of massive things happen in Division 3 this weekend, and we'll be talking about it on the members pod because there's a few games left with a lot on the line. Wicklow bet Limerick by a point to give themselves a chance of staying up in the last day. Sligo and Offaly drew, so we'll go through the permutations on the
pod. That was a surprise. Clare. I thought Sligo would nick that. I thought Sligo...
Offaly have been coming good, Paddy. Yeah. We'll talk about that in the members' pod.
Narrow defeats, but go on, yeah.
Clare, 15 points, 12 points win against Antrim. Clare have a shootout with Down on the final day for promotion because Down drew at Westmeath at 13 points to 110. Draw. There was an unbelievable block in this game in the 71st minute by James Dolan. I'm not sure if you saw it. Down player bursting through on goal. Dolan makes a full-length Superman block, a sprint from 5 yards. You see this, James?
He should have never been blocked on.
Ah, really?
You could see it from a mile away. Your man was going to go for the Superman block. Was an unbelievable block. Either go on the right, or last minute dummy. I think he gave him an awful amount of time to make the block, but it was a phenomenal block down. In fairness, but as a forward, you'd always. You'd be kicking yourself if you left it. Yeah, if you left yourself, be blocked down there.
So, Division 4, the final day is going to be a cracker. Laois need just a point against Waterford. I'll come back to why in a minute on the final day. You'd imagine they're going to get that.
Yeah.
Tipperary lost by 8 points to 4-10 to Wexford. Tipperary will play Leitrim on the last day. And Longford beat Carlow 14 points to 8. So, the way this works is Laois are more than likely going to go up against Waterford.
Slam dunk.
It's in Longford's hands. Because Longford have the head-to-head on Leitrim, if Longford beat Wexford, Longford will go up as well. But if Wexford beat Longford and Leitrim failed to beat Tipperary, Wexford will go up. But if Leitrim beat Tipperary at home and Wexford beat Longford, all these games are on the same time, so TG Carr are going to be red zoning it at the weekend. It's going to be great. Leitrim have a chance to go up. Now, I have to explain to you what happened in the Leitrim-Leash game. Have you heard this?
I did hear this, yeah.
This is incredible.
You told us.
James. I did. I forgot about that.
Sorry, you told us to.
Well, let's tell the listeners, right? Because
tell the global audience.
Leitrim, nip and tuck with Laois, tried this game. All Laois needed was a point to secure their promotion. Leitrim take the lead in injury time. I think it could have been the first time in the game to take the lead. Laois go on the attack. There's a minute to go. One of the Laois forwards takes a shot from far out and it drops short into the grateful hands of a Leitrim defender. Now, a whistle is blown. For anyone on the outside, the whistle was blown for a defensive mark. But the Leitrim defender thought the whistle was blown for the end of the game. So he sprints off with the ball in his hands and gets done for over-carrying. Now, the key point here is... The referee gives a free in. So Laois are point down, the referee gives a free in. Mark Barry has the ball in his hands. But a key point here, the referee gives the free from where the Leitrim defender stopped his run, not from when he first caught the ball.
So where did he catch the ball? Like 21.
He caught the ball like 30 yards out, and I think the free is maybe a little bit further off to the sideline. Like it's not the toughest free in the world. And
he evened it up
Mark
a bit.
Barry, unfortunately, hits the post. Now, Laois should still get the job, but what drama, and I'm sure all anyone could do at the end was laugh. That Leitrim defender actually had quite a good impact in the turnaround later on as well, so I think he'll be let off the hook. But that's Division 4, lads. I'm telling you, If an opportunity arises.
Every year.
If an opportunity arises, lads, we have to take... If a team bombs out their manager late on in the league next year, we have to go in there and take over.
I thought you meant go to a game. Take over a team.
Telling you. Division
I'm gonna
four.
Leave that with you do like I'm going to leave that with you.
A Salford City style, you know, in there.
Well, you have the money. You have the company credit card.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll do Waterford.
You're on the big books, yeah.
Yeah.
Waterford will be looking. I think we'll do. Down from order.
Do you reckon you could do a good job managing?
Me? No. No. I'd be too emotionally invested in it. Wouldn't be for me.
Paddy, you do a good job.
I'd be too.
Paddy, you'd be good.
Unemotionally invested. I don't know. I do it with good people, yeah.
First team night out would be carnage, and that'd be.
Yeah, you get the bullet after that. The chairman, if you called to the chairman's office at the Monday morning, going, what?
The chairman would be down in the dressing room, Kildare style.
No, I think we have a nice little gig here, lads, in the cheap seats.
We'll stick at it.
Yeah.
Fellas, final thing before we go, and we'll be bringing you all a members pod later this week, so you can check that out too. We'll be looking ahead to the weekend's action. But I just want to mention the 32-32-32 challenge, which was just launched today. It's a group of five friends, Brian Kelly, Owen Diffley, Emmett Burke, Kieran McManus, and Conor Murphy, who are embarking on an ambitious challenge. The goal is to kick points in all 32 counties of Ireland, visiting a different club pitch in each county. They'll actually be coming down to Cratlow in Clare, so we'll keep an eye out on that one. The group of young men, including four members from the St. Barry's GA Club, along with Brian Kelly from Newtown Cashel in Longford, have decided to take on the challenge to support one of their friends' mothers, Connor's mother, Nicola. So Nicola has received a diagnosis recently of motor neuron disease, and the five lads are determined to raise funds and awareness around their cause. So we wish them all the best of luck. I think it's a great idea, a novel idea. And best wishes to Nicola as well. So that's that challenge. I'll give it a share and I'll put it up and we'll give that GoFundMe a share. But it's a nice way to do it. They're going to be traveling around. It's 32 hours over the weekend of May 10th to 12th. So there's a couple of provincial finals on that weekend. So hopefully they get plenty of coverage and they raise the funds they're looking to raise for the motor neuron disease and awareness around that.
Hopefully that goes well. I mean, support as much as we can.
We will. Best of luck to the lads and fair play to them. So that is this week's episode of the Football Pod. Paddy James, thanks again as always. And to our listeners back home tuning in, we hope you've enjoyed the pod. We hope you enjoyed last week's special with the Cliffords and our quiz that our members received on Wednesday or Thursday. The boys are still sour over it. We'll wait and see where we go with that. Thanks, boys.
Cheers, Tom.
Good night, boys. Great stuff. Chat later in the week.